You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Shortly before the show, I chatted with Green MP Tiano Tuiono about how the Omicron outbreak is affecting Māori and Pacifica communities and what the government can do better. What are the present challenges facing Māori and Pacifica communities during the Omicron outbreak?
Well, what the health experts tell us is that our best protection is to get the booster. So 3 doses of vaccine are required for a high level of protection against Omicron. But right now, only 59% of Māori and 60% of Pacifica peoples have had our third dose. And when you look at it from the perspective of tamariki of our children, only 35% of tamariki and Māori have had their first dose compared with 57% for Pākehā children. And we're coming into winter as well, and so there are concerns around diseases like whooping cough and measles and the flu as well, and what that would do as well. So from my perspective, just listening to what I heard this morning from the Prime Minister, it's all very well to take a very wide view, but hey, let's take a more specific view. What does it actually mean for vulnerable communities? What does it mean for Māori and Pacifica communities? We do have a broader uptake, but for specific communities, we're not there yet. So I was disappointed to hear that some of the restrictions are going to be dropped, and I'm concerned about what that would mean.
What are the implications of the very recent government announcement to ease the traffic light rules for these issues that you're talking about?
Probably the concern that jumps out to me most, because I'm amongst other things, parent, is what that would mean for education, what that would mean for our schools, what that would mean for our kura. I think it's premature to drop mandates for schools, especially for ECE. Well, under fives cannot be vaccinated. The processes are not in place. We've got to look at the ventilation. We've got to look at getting quality masks into schools. All those processes, to me, they do not look like they're in place. And like many parents, I'm concerned about that.
Do you expect to see an uptick in the number of cases in education facilities as a result of these changes?
What I did want to see was a rollout in school-based vaccination program. I think it's really important to work alongside Māori and Pacific leadership to achieve high equity in vaccine coverage, provide N95 masks equivalent to every school and all that stuff. But very important to improve the ventilation systems within schools. What I heard was just the dropping of a whole lot of the things that have kept us safe, and that concerns me, particularly for our schools.
So in terms of those types of relationships that you're having with schools, who are the stakeholders or parties that you see coming to the table, and what relationships would you like to see government having to create these outcomes that you're describing?
What I would say is that we've got to really focus on the values of the value I'm drawn to is the value of putting our children, putting our families, and putting our whānau at the centre of everything that we do. So the school system wraps around those values as opposed to the other way around. Like, we shouldn't be using the school system to provide childcare so that people can bump up the economy. I don't think that's the way to go. The way to go is to actually centre families, centre our children, and everything else wraps around that. You know, like the best economic response is a strong health response. That's what my view as well. And we're hearing a lot of noise on the right. You know, they're banging on about business and all this kind of carry on, but I just think that's the wrong focus. The focus needs to be on our vulnerable communities, our immunocompromised people, our communities like Māori and Pacifica have not got to that same level of booster uptake, and making sure that we centre those people.
You mentioned in your press release the importance of a well-resourced Māori and Pacifica-led approach to vaccination against COVID-19 and other childhood infections. What does a well-resourced Māori and Pacifica-led approach look like with regards to vaccinations?
Part of it is actually making sure you talk to them early. that you get them there. And I think there's been some lessons learnt as well, that you just can't just rush into communities, because if you don't have people that are champions of the community to sort of carry the message, and it doesn't land very well. I've seen that in numerous places as well. But you've got to continue to do that, and you've got to continue to resource it, and you've got to continue to look at that community and social cohesion aspect of it. And so it is that, and then also acknowledging, particularly for Māori, many of our Māori communities, our kohanga reo and our kura kaupapa and our whare kura, they're at the centre of many of our communities as well, and making sure that you wrap around them as well. And also, and I think, you know, we need to get some stronger resourcing around how you deal with misinformation and disinformation, because it's rife out there. You know, people are more likely to listen to stuff from YouTube than they are from an actual doctor and actual nurse as well. So that's a particular stream of work that needs to be picked up as well, because for many Māori, we've got a long embedded distrust of the government going right back to the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi. And so you have to factor that in into your rolling out of health services.
A couple of weeks ago, we had a similar conversation to this one with Dr. Shane Ureti of the National Party, though it was specific to Pacifica peoples during the Omicron outbreak. He called for deeper long-term relationships with community and faith leaders to help combat issues like you raised, like misinformation, ensuring that vaccines are getting to the right people. Are you calling for a similar type of response, or are you calling for something that's more or less targeted? Could you just talk a little bit more about the specifics in terms of...
I think that having those deeper relationships with our communities, for our faith-based communities, for all of our communities, is very, very important. I had a number of friends of mine that were involved in organising a Tongan community response as well, and the uptake was enormous, because you had our people talking to our people, and so that barrier is immediately taken away, you know, the language barriers, the cultural barriers, that being able to sit there and talk with people. Because like a lot of folks, you know, going to the doctors is a scary thing. And there's a couple of university degrees, and I don't like going to the doctor, but we need to. And so being able to overcome that anxiety, being able to overcome those cultural barriers, because some of our relatives, English is a second or third language. So making it as comfortable as possible, because that's the barrier. It's actually not the actual vaccine. It's the communication, make sure that communication lands well. And so I would support having those deeper relationships with all of our communities, with our faith-based communities, with our community organisations, sports teams, whatever, to make sure that lands well.
And just the final question for today, I just want to rewind a little bit and talk briefly about the announcement that was made at 11. Critics have said that this decision was predominantly political in nature. What is your view on the rationale behind this decision?
There's been a lot of noise on the right, a lot of noise from the business people, I think the government needed to ignore that. We need to focus on what the health experts are saying. We need to focus on what is best for our communities. We need to focus on what's best for families. We need to focus on what's best for our tamariki, and focus what's in our mūrena compromise.
That was Green Party MP Tiano Tuiono, my apologies, discussing how the Omicron outbreak is affecting Māori and Pacifica communities and what the government can do better.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.